Welcome to this edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with another returning guest, my good friend, he's also my wedding party, Paul Ebner is back on the podcast. You haven't been on since, well, January, I believe, or else it's the beginning of February is the first time you were on.
It was cold, I remember that.
It was cold, yes. And you have returned because you have something very exciting coming up really shortly. When this airs, it'll be the next day. You have something exciting you want to talk about. Yeah. But you are back on the podcast, and you brought me some surprises.
I did bring you some surprises. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the business out of the way really quick before we get to the... Yeah, actually, you know what? It's better to be boozing while we're talking business.
Yeah.
So in lieu of the announcement from last week's Brews and Crews podcast, since you are going to be a dad.
Yes.
And yep. That's really exciting. I'm super excited for you. So congrats to you.
Thank
and
you.
Stephanie. That's really exciting. Little baby Jacobson, what, May is it?
It's somewhere in May.
Somewhere
roughly
in May.
The end of May is what the Google determination has. But
okay.
Our first ultrasound, from what I understand, is November 1st.
Okay.
So assuming everything goes as planned, it's still very early, like 5 weeks in right now as this is being recorded. When this episode comes out, it should be about 7 weeks-ish long.
Okay.
So I think then around that first ultrasound, we'll have a better idea of actual dates. So
perfect.
It'll be interesting. It'll be fun.
Well, since it's your first and haven't experienced fatherhood yet, so I brought something that basically is going to describe what you are going to become once you become a father. And if anyone watching is a father, you will definitely understand why. So, I'm sure you've had this, but it's not going to take long that you're going to become a foggy geezer.
Oh, yes.
After being a dad for a while, because you're going to be up late, you're going to be up early, you're going to not get any sleep, and your entire brain is going to become foggy. You're going to become tired, grumpy, just like a foggy geezer.
Look, I have had this, but not on the podcast yet.
All right.
Perfect. And actually, I got a decent story with this beer.
I did a little bit of research.
I searched
Brews Crews Foggy, because you always post what you're drinking.
Yep.
So I knew if you'd already had this, that I'd find it. And I didn't see it, so I was like, all right, I think this is safe.
You are absolutely right. I've never had this. And this looks like the most badass can you've ever seen.
Well, I mean, it's War Pigs, which is named after Ozzy Osbourne's song with Black Sabbath.
Is that what this is from?
Yes, that's what they named it after. That's what they named it after. But I told you I'd have the history.
Sure.
So the fun part is, if you don't know, and it's kind of a cool story. So War Pigs Brewing was actually a collaboration of Three Floyds Brewery, which was named after Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Illinois. And I'm going to forget the name. It's like M-I-K-K something. Now I'm blanking on the name. It's like McCalla or McKella. And it's a European brewery.
Okay.
And they're in Denmark or Sweden. It's Scandinavian. I know that. So a Scandinavian brewery and an Illinois brewery teamed up and made this. So that's the fun story behind that. And how War Pigs came to be. Because actually, it's funny. It used to have both the breweries on the top. They're not there anymore.
Yeah, it used to say Three Floyds on it.
Yep. Now it's gone strictly. War Pigs is its own entity now.
Wow,
they're doing their own thing.
Dropping knowledge for us on the beer.
That's all I got.
I love it. Well, that's all we need.
So, but let's crack a foggy geezer in lieu of you going to be one soon. Or at least feel like one.
Yes.
Cheers. I love this beer.
Dude, that is good.
If I remember correctly, this won best beer at the first or second craft beer tour.
Here in town?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was either the first or second one. It won first or best brew.
Yeah, it's a citrus and tropical hops varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely taste that. 7.3% it's coming in at. I don't know what this War Pig is in an astronaut helmet.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about. But yeah, War Pigs, this is some good stuff. It says on the side of the can that it's Munster, Indiana. It was brewed there and canned there. So,
It was Indiana that Three Floyds was in.
Okay.
Those I states, I get them mixed up sometimes.
And yeah, they're all next to each other-ish.
But anyway, so that's War Pigs and their Foggy Geezer, which I know is their flagship now. This is what they kind of coast on.
Yep.
However,
Oh, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
Oh, I like the box. The box has poppy on it.
Because I've been looking for another one of those. The only other one I could find, and I'm bumping the microphone.
Ooh, no, I've never seen that one.
The Lazarite IPA. So we'll be able to try that one too. So
sure, well, yeah, put that.
I don't come with just one. What have you ever known me to have one beer?
That's true. Because we're going to play some trivia after this.
Yes, we are. So it's helping hopefully unfoggy our brains. So
well, doesn't matter. I can't remember anything anyways. So I've never had this one, and that's really kind of interesting. But the boxes are they stand out like
they're similar, but they have each one has their own logo.
Sure.
I was not expecting to get this. Because I didn't know that whenever you go anywhere and locally here, this is the only one they have.
Yep.
And I was shocked to see this one. So I just on a whim, I grabbed that too when I was picking up the Foggy Geezer. So this one, I'm going in blind. Never had it. So we can try it for the first time together.
Well, that'll be fun then. Now, I have had this before. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ever had this was I was actually, and you'll appreciate this, I was doing a real estate deal.
All right.
My buddy, Corey. Sveen, he had a house in Rochester, and I was selling it for him, and I brought all the paperwork over to Rochester, took all the photos, this, that, and the other thing. He goes, hey, you want to have a beer? I go, yeah, why not? This sounds fun. He brings out the Foggy Geezer. He goes, you ever had this? I go, never until now. So I do remember this one because it was a real estate deal I had going with my buddy. And since you're in real estate too, you understand that sometimes you need a beer during it.
Sometimes several. Depending on the deal.
Well, that's true, too. Now, the box you brought along says poppy on it. Does that also signify that I'm going to be a poppy?
Yes, totally plan that. Now, that was just the box on the top of the stack at the liquor store.
Hey, poppy. We're going to be a poppy.
Yes, you are. But once again, congrats.
Thank you very much.
Exciting. But yeah, I appreciate you bringing me back to talk about what I've got going on. I'm pretty excited about it. And I'll probably have you on that as well once we get things rocking and rolling. Where I work at the radio station, Leighton Media, we started the Leighton Media Podcast Network.
But hold on. Before we get there, let's talk about fatherhood.
You know what? That's a good idea.
Let's leave these people sweat this out.
Yep, you get to wait.
See what the announcement is.
So fatherhood. So what do you need to know about fatherhood? Ask away.
Well, you know, it was fun. We just had a guys' night the other week where it was you, me, and some of your buddies who are now my buddies. And we all got together, and it was a bunch of dads except for me at the time.
Yep.
And now I know that I'm going to be. And so when you had your first kid, Chloe, what was it like? Obviously leading up to, you know, you're helping out your wife, but then day one hits and what happens on day one?
Here's the deal. We were spoiled rotten with Chloe. This is from the male perspective. So obviously I can't speak for all the stuff that, you know, the female body goes through and all that kind of stuff. But, it was pretty textbook. Even the labor, you know, you always hear the rumors of the like, oh my gosh, I was in labor for 27 hours before you finally, like Jesse was, when we had Chloe, her water broke naturally. She actually called me. I was actually working literally right next door at Cars and Credit at the time. And all of a sudden one of the other sales reps come flying out with the cordless phone and she hands it to me and it's Jesse. And she's like, hey, it's time. My water broke. You need to take me to the hospital. So I ran home, grabbed her, and we went to the hospital. That was at about 5:45 in the afternoon.
Okay.
From that moment to Chloe being out, it was like 9:20. So it was pretty quick. Everything went really smoothly. Natural was not, didn't have to have a C-section or anything. But then, you know, then of course you're worrying about is she going to scream all night? Is she going to be colicky? You know, all that kind of stuff. Not colicky, not screamy at night. Chloe slept through the night at 6 weeks, which is kind of unheard of. So we got spoiled rotten with Chloe.
How many hours is considered sleeping through the night? Is there a certain hour that you're talking about?
We'd put her down like 8-ish, like, you know, she'd be up and down and up and down. And then for like bed, we'd put her down at 8 and usually she slept till about 6 a.m.
Okay.
Like literally through the night. We were shocked. I mean, Jesse would get her up to feed her because she needed to, but we could have gone through the night and probably not done it.
Sure.
And she probably would have been fine, but just for Jesse's sake, because you have to empty those things, you know. I don't know how family friendly we need to stay on the podcast.
You do whatever you want.
You know, but they need to be emptied, you know.
Sure.
So that, you know, that's kind of what she just got up and she said, I don't want to waste it. So Chloe would get up, she'd feed, she'd go right back to bed. Now, Lincoln, our second.
Well, he's already mouthy. He's loud right now.
Opposite end of the spectrum.
Okay.
Would keep me up. And at this point, I was at the radio station, so I was having to be up at 4:15 every morning. We'd be up with him. He'd be screaming his head off till 1:32 in the morning.
Wow.
So, and I don't know. I mean, the more I've talked to people about it, it seems like it's a second child thing. Like, first children seem easier. I don't know if that's just what we get in our heads or what, but we'll hope you have another, or have a Chloe.
Have a Chloe, baby, yes. Well, you know, she's just, you know, I teach your kids, so I know what they're like. Chloe is much quieter than Lincoln. Lincoln this year now is very talkative, a lot. And I'm like, oh, well, he would be, and he likes to roughhouse more. Chloe doesn't seem like that. She seems more mild-mannered, just in general. Was she just turned 10 or about to turn 10?
She'll be 11, actually.
Oh, 11.
Today.
Oh, happy birthday, Chloe.
Today of
the podcast?
When it runs.
When it runs. Perfect.
Today.
So my next question is, since you've had your child, let's just go with Chloe because she's had the most time on earth. What's been the best time in her life that you've liked the most? Is it currently? Was it when she's born, or was it somewhere in between?
You know, I mean, she's a daddy's girl. So, you know, we've spent quite a bit of time together, and I think I would say now-ish, like probably now and then back like three years or so. I mean, it's all been fantastic, you know, don't get me wrong, but once they can read and we can do stuff together that I don't feel like I have to dumb down my brain a little bit. I mean, which is fine. Yeah. You know, you get used to that. But I just love the fact that, perfect example, her and I just went to a Lego convention last weekend together. And they had it in Rochester. And they had
just a little closer.
Okay, that's okay.
There you go.
They had these exhibits of these professional Lego builders. Like, sure. one of the exhibits was the guy literally built the entire movie of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, scene by scene, in Lego.
Holy cow!
So you had the grandparents' house with all four grandparents in the bed. You had the scene where they first met Wonka coming out of the door and walking down the cobblestone. You had the big all edible room with the chocolate river, all the way through to the end where they even had the elevator breaking through the glass ceiling and flying into the air, all with Legos.
Jeez.
And these aren't sets. Like, these guys go through these, find the pieces they need, and build these just by visual.
Sure.
That's how they build these. And watching my daughter, like, look at these things and the way her brain works, which I love, she's so analytical. She was like breaking down, how can I do this? Like, that's where she's at in her life now, where her brain is to that point where it's so fun watching her see these things and get excited about these things and not be stuck on a screen, you know, easy for kids or even as parents. I mean, I'll admit there's some times where you're kind of tired and exhausted and you're just like, here's your tablet, just, you know.
Give me a few.
Yeah, you know, the tablet or Nintendo Switch babysitter. I mean, we've all done it.
Don't judge Paul.
Yeah, don't judge me. but no, I just love seeing her brain develop now to the point where we can go to these things together and I can get excited about them. She gets excited about them. Do you ever see the show Lego Masters?
No, but I've heard of it.
So one of the Lego Masters was there too, and she had apparently recognized him and she's got all excited. We took a picture with him.
Sure.
And so, but it was just, it's neat now being able to share these kinds of things with her, where before it was like, I want to go see Blippi live. And I'm just like,
oh,
you know, like, You can only take so much Blippi, and although I will say, if you're a parent and you've not watched it with your kids yet, Bluey is one of the best things on planet Earth.
My students just told me this. They go, get ready for Bluey. I go, I hope not, but maybe Blippi was the one I was thinking of.
Blippi
that's annoying.
Is the annoying one. He's kind of, more power to the guy who created Blippi. It was literally, he said, he thought all the YouTube channels for kids were stupid. I can make a better one for my own kids, and he became a multimillionaire off of it. So good for him. He sold the rights. He's not even doing it anymore. It's now like a franchise. But like Bluey, pay attention to it as an adult. You could go home now and watch it and without kids, and you'd get a kick out of it. It's a good show.
Really?
It's thought-provoking. Okay. It's fun, very real-life situation. Like, and especially once you have kids and then you're really relating to it, it's going to be even better. But very entertaining show.
So South Park I should hold off on a little
bit? A little bit. I remember even when I was even a young teenager, my parents even wanted me to avoid The Simpsons. But
Well, I got into South Park in about fourth grade. I came out. And then my uncle took me to Bigger, Longer, and Uncut when I was in fifth grade. And man, did we have a good time.
I hate to say it, explains a lot, but I'm just kidding.
It does, it explains a ton. So I agree with you because I don't have kids yet, but when I'm teaching all the way from K to 8, I do appreciate being with the older kids where they can appreciate something you might do or say or whatever it might be, and they can maybe you can relate to them a little bit more. You're right, when they're younger, it's kind of like just getting them through these steps until you can obviously relate to them and take them to a Lego convention that they might enjoy. It sounds like she's going to be an architect. I don't know.
Architect or artist, you know, the fact that she can see things and create things in her head and then create them, whether it's drawing, painting, or building. Like, she just is able to visualize it, see it, and then just create it.
That's really neat. So then what's Lincoln like? Total opposite of her now still or somewhat similar?
Chloe likes to create. Lincoln likes to destroy.
That's right. You said he wants to do wrestling this year.
Yeah, he does. Yes.
That's destroying.
No, and I shouldn't say that completely. He's actually very creative as well. But he gets a bigger kick out of wrecking what he makes at. Like, he'll take like the magnet tiles and stuff and like make something, and then he has fun like pretending he's Godzilla and knocking it over. Like, typical boy. I mean,
typical
let's be
boy,
real.
Yep.
You know, we us boys always like a little bit of destruction, you know. So, but I mean, he has the same creative side to him. Like, it's just not as I'm trying to think of the word, but she's just so much more, I just guess, creative. I mean, she's so creative, and it's such a joy to see her just expounding on that and just turning into this person who just wants to create.
Yeah.
And Lincoln's got a bit of it, but it's just not the same. It's not the same level as Chloe's, and I don't think it ever will be, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's different. All kids are going to be different.
He'll find his own thing.
Exactly.
So hardest part about being a father from the last 11-ish years?
Hardest part about being a father?
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is going to get a little more real. For me, there's just so many unknowns. There's so many unknowns. Like, I mean, you're constantly paranoid about are they healthy? Are they surviving? Are they mentally okay? Did I just ruin them because I yelled at them? You know, it's like, you always deal with that. But at the same time, am I allowed to swear on here?
Yep.
For lack of better terms, people ask me, like, well, what do you want for your kids? Or, like, what do you want them to become? I'm like, I don't care what they want to be as long as they're not assholes. Like, I just don't want my kids to be assholes. I don't want them to treat people poorly. I don't want them to think they're better than people. I want them to care about their fellow man. As tacky as it sounds, but that's what I want for my kids. I want them to just be good people.
Sure.
You know, whatever they choose to do for a career or their like life direction, I don't care. As long as they're a good person, I know I did my job.
Yeah.
And it's that paranoia of not knowing, am I doing that? Am I being a good enough person around my kids to make sure they're going to be a good person?
Yeah.
That is the hardest thing.
Well, I read this thing. I think it's a quote, and it's probably by The Rock. I said, who I think it's from. It says, and I tell my kids this all the time, it costs $0 to be kind to someone.
Yep.
And you're exactly right about that. As long, it doesn't matter what they become, as long as they become a good person in general for the general public. So then, what's the best part?
Best part?
It's probably what I would probably call the rewarding part.
Oh, the rewarding part is
watching
when
them.
They do make decisions that make you proud.
Ooh, yes.
I mean, when they, well, like we just did, Chloe just did her first book report. Mm-hmm. And watching her, like I helped her with it, but I didn't really need to. She totally could have done it by herself. Most of the times, the only question she was asking me is if she spelled a word correctly.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, she was excited about the book, which is kind of cool because it was a book I did a book report on when I was her age,
which
too.
One was it?
Banicula.
Banicula.
Yep. It's about a dog and a cat that live with this family, and they adopt a bunny rabbit that they found at a movie theater. And after they find the rabbit and it's in the house, they keep finding vegetables that are white and drained of all liquid. So they start thinking the rabbit's a vampire. Banicula, Dracula.
Oh, gotcha. Banicula, Dracula, got it.
So that's okay. Where it came from. And it's a fun book. It's perfect for like fourth through sixth graders. I loved it when I was a kid. And now seeing my daughter reading it and love it and then do a book report on it. Another rewarding moment right
yeah,
there.
It's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So, but yeah, it's neat seeing them succeed, you know, and be excited about things besides once again, a television screen or a video game, even though I'm a gamer, so I don't mind seeing my kids be gamers.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's exciting seeing them get excited about things that are not just television and stuff
sure.
like that.
Sure. Well, you know, they always say everything in moderation is just fine. As long as they're not just stuck to a screen, that's it. But it doesn't sound like that at all because Lincoln wants to do some wrestling. Maybe it's because he watches WWE, which we'll get into. Your daughter is big into Legos. I know she's into more than that. But just from seeing your kids, knowing them for the last, I don't know, five-ish years or whatever it's been, really it's been since I sold you the house. Is when I really got to know your kids.
Yeah.
4 years ago-ish. And that's really when I got to know them. And now that I teach them, I think they're great kids.
Well, thank
Chloe's
you. I appreciate
been
that.
Really good. She's grown up really well. Lincoln, he's getting a little wilder, but I'm sure he's going to tone it down.
He's a boy.
Yeah, he's a boy. Right. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And he's in first grade. So he likes, and he, you know what? He's actually the fastest one in his class right now.
Atta
I don't know if
boy.
You knew that. I don't know if it's a proud dad moment, but there's
that
one
is
for
a proud
you.
Dad. Well, and he wants to play, the other sport he's really interested in is baseball. So I could see, you know, and he's not bad. Like we've done T-ball in through Rolling Stone community for the last two summers, and he loves it.
Sure.
So he's getting good at it, and he was always like one of the fastest around the bases. And usually they start with they all run, and of course he's like having to slow down because the kid in front of him can't run as fast. So you can tell he's like, come on, go faster.
Get running, kid.
Yep.
Well, the last thing I want to ask you is, and I'm putting you on the spot here with
That's
this
fine.
One. For me, what give me one piece of father advice that I should consider doing or think of when I have a child? We don't know if it's a boy or girl, so
I already that wasn't even hard. I know exactly
Perfect.
What I'm going to tell you. Don't be afraid to let them fail.
Yes, I love that.
Seriously, it's because as a parent, you do not want your child to fail.
No. Nope.
But they have to. If they don't, they won't learn.
Yep.
And so it's very easy to, oh, I'll do it, or I'll help you with it.
Sure,
or,
sure.
You know, and your instinct, your parental instinct of, I want my child to survive. I want them to be the best they're going to be. You're going to immediately want to jump in and do that for them.
Yep.
But you have to force yourself to be like, no, they have to be allowed to fail.
Yep.
So,
you know, and when I teach kids now, I like to do that with kids. Granted, it's not my child, so it could be different when it's my child. But I do like to watch them fail so then I can say, hey, see how that didn't work? Try it this way. So I'm hoping I have the same reaction since it'll be my personal child rather than someone else's child I'm trying to teach
you,
them.
You will, but it'll be
a little
50,000 times harder because it's your kid and you're like, I just want them to be the best
right,
at everything.
Yep.
But you just have to know that. And they need to, not only do you need to let them fail, they need to see from you that it's okay. That's
sure.
the other thing. And I struggled a lot with that. And I'll admit that. There was points where I would get frustrated with my kids. And I had a point with Chloe that we finally had to sit down and talk. And she said, I just don't want to fail for you. Like, and I'm just like, Chloe, it's okay to fail. So we had to have that conversation.
Yep.
And I think every parent at some point needs to have that conversation, because kids don't want to disappoint their parents. So they're afraid to fail, but they can't be afraid to fail either. So you have to let them, and they have to be willing to fail too. Yeah.
That's a thin line.
It is.
It's a thin line to walk on.
But it's the best way to have them realize it's okay. I sure. don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect at everything. It's okay because I'm going to learn from it.
That's awesome. So. That's a great piece of advice, because I see the same thing, like I said, as I'm teaching other people's kids. I see the same thing. You know, they got to fail in order to understand. And otherwise, you never understand what failure is until you get older and you're like, oh, that's devastating.
Yeah.
So that's great. So now let's get on to the big thing that's coming up in your world, podcasting.
Yes.
You're getting into this.
I am.
And I'm just, you know what, I'm actually surprised you didn't have a podcast before me.
We had our YouTube channel for a little, our short-lived YouTube channel.
WrestleLogic.
Yep, WrestleLogic.
And it was held right over there behind my head
yep.
at the bar.
And it was great. It was a lot of fun, but it just, I don't think we were quite prepared for how much work was involved, because there was a lot of work involved with that.
Yeah, you know, but here's a good thing about that. That's where you and me became good friends.
That is true.
Because you said, I got this idea for a YouTube, and I barely even knew you.
Yeah,
I don't even know the first time we met, unless you do.
That's right. We met at the conference room.
Yeah, the Kensington.
In the Kensington. That's right. Yeah, I do remember that.
You go, I got an idea. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't really know Paul at all, but I know he's a nice guy. That's all I knew about you, really.
Then you learn. Then you figured it out. That's not. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he's just some big a-hole. Just like his kids.
I failed.
So, yeah, we did. That's right. We had WrestleLogic. And we were analyzing wrestling matches throughout the week, or wrestling shows.
Yep.
I gotta say, you're way more into that than I was. I was kind of there for the.
You were the color commentary.
The silly comments, I guess.
Yep. You were the color commentary, and I was the play-by-play.
You were, and
so.
I mean, it just kind of went away for whatever reason.
We just got busy. Life, yeah. Life yeah. happened, and
this was. 2017, I think it was.
17, 18, or maybe 18, 19, but it.
I think it was 17.
Was it that far?
I think it was.
My goodness.
I know. And that's just so crazy that, I mean, there's a lot of them out there. And I'm gonna get to the point where I'm getting to when I start getting into what your adventure is, or your venture is here with podcasting. So it's coming out October 2nd? 1st, October 1st.
Yep.
Okay, and this podcast will be dropping on September 30th. So tomorrow, folks.
Yep.
Tomorrow, his new podcast comes out. What's it going to be called?
Okay, so it's the Still Real to Me podcast.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
exactly
yeah, I met that I guy.
That's exactly what I named it after. And I chose that because, you know, I think that it's sometimes frowned upon to be our age and be really hardcore wrestling fans.
Yes, it's sometimes. Remember how when we were at your house and we had our guilty pleasures? Remember we were talking about,
what's
your guilty pleasure music? And I was like, Nick Lachey for me, probably. Because if I was out and about,
my mine was ABBA, by the way.
And so I think it still is for an adult male, almost in their 40s. Well, me, you're already there.
Yes.
It might be considered a guilty pleasure because some people would call it make-believe, probably, because it's fake wrestling. And I'm here to tell you, wrestling isn't fake. It's predetermined.
Yes.
My face was really broken that time. It didn't fake break. It wasn't a fake face for me. It really broke. But everything's predetermined. And the way I always tell people is I go, you watch movies, correct? Those actors all know that's predetermined.
Yep.
They already know the outcome. You don't. But movies are cool. I don't know. I'm into wrestling, but I'm into more of the behind the scenes of wrestling.
Yep.
And I'm really into the big ones like Royal Rumble, which we're going to have a party again for you, and your birthday, and Royal Rumble. Perfect weekend. We're going to have another WrestleMania party because that's just, you have to. Those are the two I really get into. SummerSlam, Survivor Series, never really got into that much. SummerSlam, maybe a little bit I did. But
I'm getting a little more into Survivor Series now that they've added the War Games stipulation, I think is pretty cool.
Okay, but I've never watched that.
I miss the old school, though. Remember when Survivor Series was teams of four and then they like got eliminated? Like, they haven't done that in years.
That's
where
The Rock
that.
Came in.
Yeah.
That was the first time. Like, yeah, that's right. It was Survivor Series. 96 or 95?
Yep,
the
that's
Rock.
Right.
Rocky Maivia. And his little hairdo.
And his little like tat, like, like ribbon. They weren't even, they were like ribbons. He literally had like the gross like birthday ribbons.
Yeah, that's right. He came down. It was pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
So, okay, it's called Still Real to Me. And for those who don't know, you need to research. All you have to do is just go on YouTube and write in, it's Still Real to Me. And you're going to see a guy, and I met this guy multiple times because he was friends with my trainer in Atlanta.
Okay.
And he is a guy that is asking a question at an interview with some wrestlers, some old pro wrestlers.
Yep, yep.
And he's telling about how much he appreciates them. And then right around before he's getting asked his question, he starts breaking down to tears. And he says, it's still real to me, damn it. And they go, oh, get a hold of yourself, buddy.
Yep, yep, yep.
Well, and so that's what it's named after.
Well, and that's because to me, you know, as a 41-year-old male, when people are like, oh, what are you into? I'm like, I love professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. There's always a pause. And then they're like,
oh,
okay, like, fine. You know, I don't think I've ever had someone like flat out insult me or be like, oh, you know, it's fake, right? Like, I've never had that, but I've definitely had the, okay. You know, but and for me, like a lot of people are like, I know they're thinking like, oh, it's fake. But just like you said, movies are scripted. Movies are set ahead of time. You know, I mean, heck, at this point, I think the NFL might even be predetermined.
And you know what? A lot of people's reality shows are predetermined,
exactly,
too.
You know,
and they don't even know that they're watching predetermined stuff.
But for me, what I love about it is I love the physicality of it. I love the acrobatics of it. I love the fact, like, how did they do that and not actually break that guy's back? You know, when there's a move called a backbreaker and they're literally dropping a man across their knee, that should hurt. Like that, if it would be done just to be done, it would probably actually break your back. But the art of doing it to make it look good, but not actually, you know, kill your opponent, that's the art of it, and that's what I love. Plus, I love the storytelling. The storytelling is, just that, that's what I love most about, I think, wrestling, is just the storytelling. So when it's done right, it's chef's kiss. You know, there's times where it gets frustrating, and you're like, that was stupid. Why did they do that? And that's exactly why I'm doing the podcast.
Nice.
So
what? Well, first of all, I want to go back to what you were saying. When you tell people this, what I've realized, and I wonder if you realize this too or find out, the more you talk to people, the more they go, yeah, I used to watch a lot of wrestling, and I still sometimes do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not the only one. So this is funny. I'm almost ready for my next one.
Okay.
The funny thing is, when Steph and I first started talking, because we met online, we started dating, and you know how, well, I don't know if you know how dating online goes, because you didn't have to do that, I don't think, but you meet a lot of weird or interesting people. And so
that's a very, very polite way of you to say it.
Yes.
What he meant to say, he meets a lot of psychos.
I met a lot of people that didn't tell their whole story up front.
Gotcha.
And so maybe I was kind of one of those, but I wasn't at the same time. Everything was on there, but I go, I do this kind of strange thing. And she's like, oh God, what is this? And I go, I do professional wrestling. And she goes, oh, that's no big deal. My brother and I used to watch it all the time when we were younger. And, you know, we were big into it. I'm like, oh, okay. She goes, that's not weird. I'm like, well, that's it. And she goes, oh, I thought there was going to be something like, you're into this creepy, weird fetish or something like that. I'm like, no, it's just, you know, I'm wrestling guys in underwear. It's weird when you say it that way, but when you watch it on TV, you're like, that doesn't look weird at all because you grew up watching it.
Yeah.
And the more people you talk to, the more you realize that more and more people loved it, watched it a lot. Maybe they don't watch it so much anymore just because life got busy, or maybe they just think it's stupid. Who knows? It's fine, though. I love the storytelling, but where I'm going with this now is, what is yours going to be about? What's the podcast? It's Still Real to Me. What are you, what's going to be your niche, maybe?
So basically, I got the idea from my director of programming at Leighton Broad or Leighton Media. I keep forgetting we changed our name.
Where you work?
Yes, where I work at the radio station here in Winona. But and he's out of St. Cloud, and we have a meeting. We get on Zoom once a week, and I just, for whatever reason, I went on this tangent about wrestling, and I started talking. I mean, he was the same way. He's like, oh, I loved it as a kid. You know, I watched it all the time. So he just asked what to him was a very simple question, but you cannot ask a wrestling fan, oh, what's going on in wrestling right now?
Oh, that's when you down a rabbit hole.
Exactly. So that's what happened. So when we're supposed to be talking about work, I went down this rabbit hole about wrestling, and our meetings are only supposed to be 30 minutes long. All of a sudden we were at like an hour, and he goes, oh crap, I got to get to another meeting. He goes, but I'm going to call you when I'm done. I'm like, okay. So we got off the meeting. I went back to my work, you know, just normal work. And all of a sudden he calls me and he goes, you need to do a podcast. And I said, why do you say that? He goes, what just happened to us? He goes, I'm not even that big of a wrestling fan, but I couldn't stop listening.
Oh,
like,
nice.
So what I plan to do with it is I'm going to give a very brief synopsis of what happened that week in wrestling. I'm going to mainly center on WWE because that's what I watch. Now, I know there's AEW, TNA is now getting really big again, especially now that they're teaming with WWE. And I know there's other ones too, but for me specifically, I enjoy WWE main roster. So that I'm going to do like a very brief synopsis of what's happening.
Okay.
So kind of almost like a quick review, what happened on Raw, what happened on SmackDown. And then I'm just going to talk about what I think is going right and what I think is going wrong at that time in wrestling. And then I'm going to fantasy book as well.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So I'm going to be like, okay, so at this point in the story, this is what I think should happen, whether or not it's going to happen. And then I'm going to keep track of, did I call it right or did I not call it right?
Well, you're pretty good at that because usually during WrestleMania and Royal Rumble, usually win the prediction sheets.
But I never take the money.
No, I'm just saying you're good at it.
Okay, all right, fair enough. You're always in the top three.
I'm always in the top three, and I don't even watch that much anymore, unfortunately. I just can't get into the week-by-week thing. I want the big one. I want the payoff. I want to watch that part.
Although, shout out to Dave for winning this last year and literally coming in saying I haven't watched in months. So,
yeah, yep.
Well done.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dave did win, didn't he?
He did win.
Yeah. Dude, you know what? We need a belt for every WrestleMania. We need like a belt that you can just
predictions belt?
A predictions belt. And you just tack your little tag on there or something when you win it, and it goes home with you that year. And we had that one, Eli. Remember, Eli gave one away to us.
Oh, I'm not getting rid of that one.
Well, no, I know you're not getting rid of that.
That's in the trophy room right now. I'm not getting rid of that one. But, yeah, we should get a predictions belt.
Like shout out to Eli for giving that. That's like a $300 belt or more. You're just like, yeah, this is whoever wins this. Like, really? And then I was kind of like into him. Like,
it's because his wife made him get rid of a couple.
Was it Becky? Is that her name?
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Oh, Becky. Oh, Becky and Eli. They're good people too.
Yes,
though.
They are.
And he loves.
Shout this. Out, guys. Yeah. We love you.
Yes, we do. Hopefully you're listening as well. I think they will since you're on.
Oh,
listen to this one.
Okay.
So you're going to give a quick synopsis of what happened that week, and then what's going right, what's going wrong, and then fantasy book of what you hope happens?
Basically, yes. Okay. Or how if I worked as a writer for WWE, was a bug in Triple H's ear, this is what I think should happen next. So
you know what should happen next? We should try the Lazarite.
Lazarite? I hope I'm saying that right.
It looks like
Lazarite.
Right.
Lazarite?
I don't know. It sounds like something that I should take to the Renaissance Fair this weekend.
All right. One for you.
One for me.
And let's give this a whirl. Like I said, I have never had this before. So this
one actually has a tag on it. This one actually has, it's not printed on the can. It's like a sticker on it.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's brand new.
Interesting.
It's an IPA though.
Here we go.
Indian Pale Ale. All right. Reflection of lives past. Seeker of truth. The Rock gives firm purchase for the journey ahead. Stay the course.
Dang.
Cheers to staying the course. I felt like I was just giving a speech before going to war with the pigs.
That's good.
I think I might like this one better. Where are we coming in with this one? I don't even have an alcohol content on
this.
Yeah,
the other one, it was like right there.
It's probably too high. Too high to put on the can.
We're not going to tell you.
Just guess. You'll find out.
Oh, yeah, they don't. Oh, I don't think that they have to put it on the can though.
Don't. This one says it right here. This one says it right in the box. This one says nothing.
They're sneaky. When we go to trivia and we're like, "Hey, everybody,"
then we'll know it was why.
Wow, we might have to go to the Google here at
the
some
Google.
Point. Well, that, as you that have is your a phone. Tasty IPA though. That is really good.
I like this one. War Pigs, you're doing it right. I like it. So now they're not Three Floyds anymore.
No, they're not. So once again, though, if you want to tune in, they're going to drop every Tuesday.
And you're doing it weekly.
I'm doing it weekly, so every Tuesday.
So you'll have something on Monday, which will be Brews and Cruise to listen to. Then Tuesday, you can listen to Paul.
The Still Real to Me podcast on the Leighton Media Podcast Network. Just go to winonaradio.com, click connect, then click podcasts.
So now I got questions because since I'm doing this all myself, are you having to edit it too?
Oh, yeah. I'll be producing it myself.
Will there be any video? Just audio?
We eventually are going to add video.
Okay.
Right now, we're a radio station, so we don't have the cameras and stuff yet. So we're going to start just on audio, so you'll be able to get it on like Podbean and everything like that. But eventually, the plan is to add video down the road.
Okay,
so.
And what it's going to be on, what, Podbean?
You get a Podbean. It'll be on Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
I don't quote me on this. It might even be on Spotify. I don't remember what we have set up through Leighton.
So Leighton's kind of in charge of it all, or at least whatever they have.
Here's the fun part, though, is we in Winona are heading it. No one else in Leighton is doing it. So St. Cloud doesn't have it. Detroit Lakes isn't doing it. They actually let us kind of run with this new
awesome
podcast idea. So we have our what we call the free reign ones. Another gal on our staff is going to be doing a movie pod, like covering like.
Oh, so there's going to be extensions.
Cool. There's going to be a movie podcast. She's going to cover like recent films, but then she's also going to do deep dives onto like. She was talking today about like German expressionism used in film today, which I didn't even know was a thing until. But then she started naming films that had it, and I'm like, oh, I've seen that. So it was kind of you're going to learn, like, hers I'm really looking forward to because she was a film major at Winona State.
Oh, okay.
So she knows film. So if you're into movies, definitely check hers out as well. That same place. You're going to find it the same place for the Leighton Media Podcast.
Well, network, you know, so. It only makes sense to have all of you have a podcast because this is what you guys do.
Yeah.
You're talkers. I don't feel like you probably want to talk more than what you get to talk to because you have to play music too, I guess. Yeah, they force you to play some music, I guess, to keep
listening. How dare they?
How dare they with the radio station? But yeah, this just seems like it's right up your alley. You are way into wrestling. Mm. So I got one more question before. Sure. I know you wanted to ask me some things, but before we get into that, there's a lot of wrestling podcasts out there. What do you think about yours will be different than the others?
So I could be wrong here because I know some people here's the thing. I don't see as much, especially with the really popular ones anymore. I don't see enough for myself personally of the fantasy booking anymore.
Okay.
I feel like it used to be a thing. I'm giving a guy who's never going to see this a shout out, even though he's been kind of shunned from the community for some personal demons he's dealing with. But his name was Adam Blompier. He was part of What Culture Wrestling, which was a pretty popular YouTube and podcasting network about wrestling, and then Wrestle Talk as well, which is the one I've always loved. It's the one that I've wanted to start doing this because of watching theirs. Love Wrestle Talk. Shout out if you ever see this. I love you guys. Probably not going to, but
were they one of the ones on YouTube that you had me watch before?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they're bigger now than ever, too. So, but Adam Blompier would do these fantasy booking videos where not only would he do what's happening currently, he would even go back and say, this is how this, I would have done this differently. I got so into those, like, I'm just like, oh, that would have been so cool if they'd done it that way. So I just love seeing different perspectives of how things could have happened. And so for me, it's just like, gosh, I have those ideas all the time. Are mine going to be interesting to people? I don't know. We'll find out. But I'd love people to tune in and find out. You know, maybe they'll give you a different perspective. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, be like, oh, that'd be so cool. but yeah, so like I said, or if you just are there to get the recap, maybe you missed Raw and SmackDown that week. Or maybe you don't have time. So, like, I really do plan on keeping the recap, like, fairly short. Like, I'm going to give you the, here are the major things that you needed to know happened, and then I'm going to move on. But, so, the first 5-10 minutes, boom, you already know what happened on Raw and SmackDown.
Okay, so I'm going to keep you to 1 or 2 minutes here. What just happened this last week on Raw and also SmackDown?
I missed both.
Oh, no. Well, good thing your podcast doesn't come out until October 1st.
I was out of town on Friday.
All right.
And we got sucked into watching the extended version of Lord of the Rings on Monday.
Okay. I saw that. I saw you guys were watching that.
So, unfortunately, I mean, I watched the recaps. Thank you, WrestleTalk.
WrestleTalk was the big one you always said to watch.
Yep.
Okay, so then I got a question. Give me the two major storylines that are happening in wrestling right now.
Well, the Bloodline storyline is still going on.
Still going on.
It's taken such a different loop now that, because Roman went away for a while, now he's returned, and now there's the power struggle. Now Roman and Cody are working together to try and take down Solo and Tama Tonga, and they're bringing in all these other Samoans now that are all part of the dynasty, because that family tree is the size of a freaking redwood.
It's basically all of Hawaii.
So basically, yes. So there's that one going on that I'm really enjoying, because it was one of those stories that every time it starts to get just a little bit stale, they throw some sort of a wrench in there to completely like flip you on your head.
All right.
So it's been a long time since I've seen a story go this long and keep me interested. So I'm really loving the Bloodline storyline. So that's been really awesome. And then now everything with, I'm loving the Gunther is now the heavyweight champion on Raw.
Really?
And Sami Zayn chasing it. Because Sami Zayn is the only person on the main roster who has pinned Gunther.
Oh.
And Gunther will not give him a title shot.
Oh.
So now there's this whole Sammy trying to prove himself to get Gunther to give him a title shot. So I'm loving that. It's because it's an underdog story. It's the Rocky story, you know. So and has that been told 30,000 times in wrestling? Yes, but when
that's the point of it.
But when it's two characters that you can really sink your teeth into, like Sami Zayn and Gunther, I'm sold every time.
So. Okay. Now I'm gonna do your fantasy booking part.
Okay.
But I'm gonna fantasy book back to WrestleMania.
Okay.
When we had Cody versus Roman,
mm-hmm.
That whole storyline leading up to it was talking about who's the head of the table, and it was Roman, Roman, Roman. Here's where I fantasy book. Obviously, I don't know what The Rock's contract is. My fantasy booking would have been this: rather than doing all these people coming out at the end like John Cena and The Undertaker and Seth Rollins, what I would have done is The Rock would have come out. He and I probably already told you this, but this is for the public now to hear. I would have had The Rock to come out, do his deal on Roman. Cody pins him. Rock picks up the microphone and says, "I'm the head of the table, bitch." And then that's it. And then The Rock walks off.
Roman so The walks Rock off. Would have cost. Well,
like he played it up like because he was always. Here's how I think of it.
Okay,
I always think of it as Roman was almost saying, "Rock, I'm bigger than you." We know that's not the case. Look at The Rock nowadays. The Rock is always going to be, if you're going to the family tree, the bloodline, Rock is always up here. Roman's under him. And that's where I'm like, The Rock, I thought was going to do that. He was at the end of it. He was just going to screw over Roman Reigns. Cody wins. Rock picks up the mic, says, "I'm the head of the table, bitch. Remember that." And then that he walks off. And because didn't Roman get some time off now?
He did. He's back now.
Oh, he's back now.
Yeah, he's back
now. He needed some time off from what I remember reading. And The Rock, his contract is usually here, there, a few times a year. It's like Brock Lesnar. So that would be my fantasy booking for WrestleMania, and that's about as where I stop.
The only problem I have with that is then it taints. Taints Cody's victory.
Yeah, and that's right, too. That's right, too.
Now you could argue 8 people got involved in the match, so it was already kind of tainted. But it wasn't, to me, tainted as far as it was more of an overcoming than it was a, oh, he needed help to win. Well, Roman already had three people helping him. Three people came out to equalize it, so then it was back to a fair fight. Now, if The Rock just came out, turned on Roman, beat him up, and then Cody just pins him, then no one would take Cody seriously as a champion. Because then they'd be like, well, yeah, he beat Roman, but he had to have The Rock do the dirty work.
Sure. See, I didn't see that. So that's why this could be your podcast, not mine.
But see, this is why I'm going to enjoy having guests on from time to time, too. So that is the plan, is I will occasionally have guests on. Here's the other kicker. I do also want to occasionally highlight local stuff, too.
Oh, nice.
So independent wrestling, because I think, I mean, you were a big part of independent wrestling, and I think that it doesn't get enough of a rub, to be honest, because those guys, I mean, you've been there, and as much as it sounds ridiculous, it's a frickin' thing. Some of those guys literally work for a hot dog and a handshake. Literally.
There's one time the guy promised all these things, and he was just a slime ball. I didn't know the guy personally at all. It was just who the promoter was. The guy came in. Oh, yeah, we're going to get you on TV, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, I mean, we're at the Black Horse. Like, where are we going to have this TV? And not belittling the Black Horse, but you'd have to have some bigger place to hold TV because obviously at the Black Horse is very condensed, so it's hard to have a camera there. That would be able to capture everything. Plus, the entrances wouldn't be that great either. But that being said, the guy built it up, acted like he had all this money, comes down to it, show's over, has not a dollar to pay anybody, pays Ken Anderson about half of what his rate was, gave us all nothing. Everyone's in the back just completely pissed off. And Andre Klinecki, good friend of mine, owner of the Black Horse, he goes, I knew something was up with that guy. He came in the day before in like sweatpants and a polo and asked for free food because he said he was the promoter and that's just what he gets. And Andre's like, no, that's not, no, you're not getting free food. So he already knew something was up the day before, but obviously Andre is, he's not going to say anything. It's not his place to say anything. He's just the owner of the venue. He's not the person putting on the show. So yeah, I've been there for nothing before. And I remember the guys, we should hold him over the damn rails and shake him until he gives us some money. I'm like, well, we can do that, but if he still doesn't have any money,
you can't.
So you can do that and get yourself into some legal trouble by, domestic assault or whatever you want to do. I'm like, it's not really worth it for what, $50 we were going to get paid probably.
Yeah.
I'm like, think of it long term, but whatever. The guy got out unscathed. But then I did some research on him and I don't even remember his name. And yeah, that wasn't the first time he had done that. So wrestling is a very shady, shady business.
Well, and I don't even, I mean, there's some really legit people out there, you know, and it stinks because they're, and we've both been a part of it, you much more than I have, but I've been a part of it enough to hear about the seedy underbelly, if you will. But it's like, and it stinks because there's a lot of independent wrestlers I've talked to that they're so jaded because of it. They don't know how to trust anyone. They never want to work for any new promotions because they don't know anything about the person. So they're like, I don't know if I'm going to get screwed over. And it stinks that there's that many people in the business that are willing to and are okay with just screwing people over who they're not out there asking for hundreds of dollars. Some of them are just like, you pay me the gas money it took me to get here. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Because most of them, it's just the love of the business. They love it, and that's why they do it. They probably would do it for a hot dog and a handshake, but some of these guys won't even give you the hot dog. Nor the handshake.
We didn't want a handshake from that guy. But yeah, you're right. It seems like entertainment is like that. And you never know what's legit and what's not until you go there and do it. I mean, people go,
the preview of the independent scene talk I'm going to have occasionally.
Well, there's always the, it's for a benefit. So that's just a fancy word of saying you ain't getting paid.
Yeah.
I'm like, as much as I would love to help out a benefit, I still got to travel. I'm still putting myself at risk. Nobody else is. And you might raise a couple hundred bucks. I'm like, you know, it's tough to do those benefit shows. I mean, you want to help out people, but I'd rather just donate a couple bucks, if anything, because your time, your gas, your risk of your body, it's like, eh. So, yeah, there are some of those. That's just, but again, those are just fancy ways of saying, you're working for free tonight, bud.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you do have to negotiate your rates. That's the other thing. You don't get paid much. People always ask me, oh, how much do you get paid for one of those shows? I'm like, but enough to cover the gas and maybe a hamburger from McDonald's, and then you're going home. But it is, I always tell people, I go, well, you also remember when you were a child, you played everything for free. In fact, you actually paid to play all these sports, then traveled, spent all your time. So I'm like, it's all the same thing. I mean, it's just, yep. it's a hobby, really. It's an opportunity is actually what you're looking for at the independent scene. So you never know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, one time I remember I had two choices. One was a show in Alabama. This was when I was living in Georgia. And the other one was working at a birthday party locally in Atlanta. So I took the local one. And I told Dave, I said, hey, there's one in Alabama for you. If you want to take my spot, you're more than welcome to. So he took my spot. He went to Alabama. I stayed local. I wrestled in an 8x8 ring. So that means, you could literally stand in one turnbuckle and the other person could, and you could reach out and shake each other's hands. It was the oddest thing. There was no spots.
How do you even do anything in a ring that size?
Trust me, it didn't even matter. The kids were just so enthused that wrestlers were in a ring.
I guess.
That was all it was. So it was.
Was it inflatable, too?
That would have been better. It was hard as a rock because there's no give.
Oh, man.
It's 8x8 ring, so there's no give to it. So I'm like, this is interesting. But I actually got paid more than Dave did going to Alabama and wrestling in a ring because it was a family that paid to have wrestlers there to do the show. So
I suppose.
Those are awkward things that you have to do.
How about thumb wrestling?
Dude, that was so much fun. Because you just didn't know what you're getting yourself into. Again, it was local, so I know the place. I know the people. I knew Derek. I'm like, this is just going to be kind of fun. And there was no rehearsing. So there was nothing on the line. You didn't have to get nervous for anything. Like, I want to make sure I hit my spots right. I'm like, you're doing thumb wrestling. Well, make it as fun as you can possibly make thumb wrestling.
Unless you're Maru and, you know, shattering a pint glass in your hand and thank God not slicing his hand open. I'm still... to this day, wondering how he did not end up with stitches in his hand from that. But
well, I remember me and David or Aesop Mitchell, we start thumb wrestling, and then it took a toll.
That was falls count anywhere.
And then it went falls count anywhere where we're still thumb wrestling, and I'm chopping him on the chest. He's chopping me on the chest. People, patrons that were there having beers are slapping him on the chest. And then we went back, and we broke the plastic ring that our fingers were in, and I won the
No, you didn't. We still have that. My kids still play with it at home.
Really?
Yep.
Thought we broke it.
I fixed it.
Oh. Way to go. You're on the ring
crew. You just popped a part off. It didn't break. I just need to pop it back on.
And then but. I got a little belt buckle. I still have that belt buckle. So it's thumb wrestling champion.
Longest reigning thumb wrestling champion.
Challenge me, baby. You better get me on your podcast for what's going on in the thumb wrestling world, you know? Give me the details of what's going on.
That is the best dumb idea I've ever had.
That was so much fun, though, because there was just no pressure.
I remember when I talked to Derek about that and I brought that up, he was just like, we could make that work.
But we had also had shows there, too. So yeah. It was a good way to promote shows at Island City. And one of the best ones was the first one they had ever done there, which was in the parking lot, huge tent. It was packed in there. I remember that. Yep. It was fun. I remember it was kind of chilly out. You go into the tent, and it was really warm in there because there were so many people there. So that was really a fun time. But, yeah, wrestling has its – but it's I think it's with any entertainment. Modeling, you never know what you get yourself into. I remember I was just – I did a modeling thing for weddings down in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Didn't know what I was getting myself into. Turned out it was just, you know, it was fine. It was wedding attire, so not a big deal. Not creepy, but...
All right, Chris, now take that shirt off slowly, please.
And eat a corn dog slow, too.
Wow.
But no, that was...
Boy, this podcast took an interesting turn.
This podcast is about everything.
It is.
And that's why I'm actually wanting to go there next is the other thing. But yes, I mean, I did that. It was for basically free. They paid for lunch and stuff like that. I didn't get anything other than an opportunity.
Yep.
But it's modeling, and it was fun. It was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours long. Fun time. Gave me some experience of how to do it, and hopefully it comes out sometime in the fall here. It was back in April is when I did that. So
all right.
I haven't been able to publish any of my photos, which they came out very nicely. But hopefully they come out sometime soon so I can say, hey, this is some of my work. Because I really do actually like the modeling portion too.
Okay.
I love doing that. I love doing this. Wrestling's got its own aspect of the live entertainment where there's a reaction. Yeah. I mean, you get a reaction. But, you know, I got just as much of a mental high from doing this and also modeling. I get a mental high from doing all that. I've done it for Knit Craft back before they got bought out. So St. Croix Knits, I've done modeling for them. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I just like being in front of a camera, and I've told everyone that. So, and you know that, how that goes. You like being in front of a mic, too. So you get it. Yeah.
I do.
You don't even have a mic flags where you're at, do you?
Moving on.
you better get some still reel to me, damn it.
I do. I have a logo. I already have a logo.
Oh, you made a logo? Oh, awesome.
Our graphic designer made me a logo. Well,
she got a graphic designer. All I got is Canva.
Oh, well.
I can make my own on Canva.
There's a good chance that she designed it in Canva, but
so I have a question. This is related to microphone voice.
Okay.
How do you get your voice the way it is? I mean, there's a thing as radio voice, and you can tell, Paul, when you talk to people, you can hear your voice. It's distinguished. You know, it's very distinguishable. I can hear you when you're talking to people. I know you're there. And it has to do with how you project your voice is how I guess. It always seems like it's in good tuning. My voice is very weak. If I have a few too many to drink, my voice really weakens. Or if I have to, especially when I was coaching basketball in the winters, I would definitely, my voice the next day at school was rough. I mean, it was like, I was just trying to get through the day. It was like that. But you're always like right there. It's just.
So it's funny when you said that when you've had too many to drink, my wife would disagree with me. When I drink, mine gets more boisterous and I get a lot louder because there's several times where I've had a few drinks and I'm talking and she's like, you need to tone it down.
Well, I feel like it's like, the alcohol in my vocal cords is what I'm saying.
I don't.
Is there a way to strengthen your vocal cords?
It's a muscle.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and well, and I don't know if mine comes from the fact that I've been, you know, I've been doing theater and I've been doing, you know, technically, I mean, when I look back on it and realize what I've done semi-professional singing. You know, I was part of a internationally touring choir. You know, okay. So it was. Yep. I don't know if it's just doing all those things have just strengthened my vocal cords, and so I've been able to. Just always have that. I think there's also something to be said with sometimes you're just born with it.
Yeah, you know? It could be.
You know, I mean, a lot of people ask me, well, like, how did you get into radio? And everyone thinks, like, I went to school for it or, you know, I went for did some sort of training. I had no training. No training in radio. I didn't go to school for it. I think it's just one of those things that either you have it or you don't. And sure. I'm not saying that you don't have it, because I think you're just fine. I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit, because as a teacher, you have to have a prominent voice. And I think you do have a prominent voice. I don't think there, you know, maybe it's just I've just used mine for what I've been doing for so long that I'm just used to it. Is there wood here? Okay, there is. I'm knocking on wood now. I've never lost my voice ever in my life. I've never, you know, people sometimes in there like we've literally had people in our radio group that could not come in because they lost their voice. People who've been doing it for years. However, God help me, I've never lost my voice.
Okay. Ever. Yep.
You know, have I been rough? Absolutely. best, if you want to hear me rough, hear me after a night I went out and sang a lot of karaoke. That's when you will hear me incredibly rough.
Okay.
I'm still able to make it. I don't know how, you know, I mean, I can't tell you. I don't have a regiment. I don't have a exercise for my voice. It just, It just is. Okay. I wish I had a better answer for
that's
you.
That's okay.
But I mean, that's all I have. Like, I don't know, you know, and do I sound differently on a microphone than normal? Yeah, I think so. You know, some people are just used to my voice. Actually, a quick story. My wedding, I grabbed the microphone to thank everyone for coming. And I was just like, hey, thank you all so much for coming. It's so great to see all you here. All of a sudden, I get an elbow from Jessie in my ribs. She's like, stop using your radio voice. Like, what are you talking about? And she goes, you went into radio voice. So she can very well distinguish the difference between when I'm on and when I'm just me. I don't hear the difference. A lot of my friends don't hear the difference. But for some reason, she's the one person that she's like, oh, you're in radio voice. And I'm like,
I think it's when you get excited about something.
What are you talking about, Chris?
Well, I mean, when you start talking about something you are very passionate about,
yes,
you get a little bit more tone to your voice. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, but you know, we talked about just fatherhood a little bit ago. You were very more calm, and then we got into wrestling, and you got way more boisterous, I would say.
So you're saying I'm not interested in my parenting?
You're not even interested in your kids, surprisingly. Just kidding. True. So, yeah, that was the thing. I was just wondering, did you go to training for that? And you answered my question already, which is no. You just maybe are born with it.
I mean, like I kind of going, I mean, I had vocal training as far as singing is concerned, which I think a lot of the same aspects are there for, you know, speaking in a certain tone. Breath control is a big part of it.
Okay.
A lot of people... Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty here. Breathing from your diaphragm, which a lot of people don't know how to do properly. Nope, you breathe through your that was your chest. Your chest raised. Nope, your diaphragm, your stomach should go out.
Okay.
If I breathe from my diaphragm, did you see my chest move? My stomach went out.
I saw your beer belly.
Love it. But that's breathing from your diaphragm. Everyone can breathe from their chest. To be properly trained vocally, you breathe from your diaphragm because that gives you more power, that gives you more energy, and you can talk for longer without having to take a breath.
Ooh, okay. So, all right. Hey, you guys from the diaphragm. Something here.
So like, for whether it's singing, whether it's talking impassioned, breathe from your diaphragm, which should mean your chest shouldn't move, your stomach should go out.
Gotcha. All right. So,
whether you're a singer, you know, and never were taught that. It was the first thing I ever got taught in that choir was that's where your breath comes from because that's how you hit higher notes. That's how you sustain longer. That's how you you actually have more control that way, too.
In your all voice. Right. So, all right.
Just, anyway.
Hey, now you learned something on the Bruce and Cruz podcast.
The more you know.
Yay!
How many different directions have we gone today?
Doesn't matter. Well, yeah, okay, so here's a funny thing. I wanted to add this in there somewhere, but I don't know where to add it in, but here it is. You know, I was going to go off your podcast. You know, this is your plan. This is what you're wanting to do. It could evolve into more. Who knows? Because when I first got doing this back on January 1st, I thought it was going to be about just talking about beers and maybe talking about cars that people are interested in. No, it's turned into much more than that, and I'm so happy it has because I would have just put myself down a rabbit hole of, oh, this is all it's about. And I'm still trying to maybe get away from that a little bit because I don't want people when they see it, Brews, it's all about beers, Cruise, all about cars, or maybe a cruise ship, whatever. I want people to now tune in and be like, wait a minute, it's totally more than that. It's right now, we're talking about fatherhood. We talked about wrestling podcasts that you're coming out with. And you had some questions for me coming up, you said. But also, I've had a lady on here talking about running 5Ks, and we had water. I've had a guy on here talking about when I was steamboat days and having a Mountain Dew. I've had a lot of bourbon on here. So I'm so glad that I didn't pigeon myself down a rabbit hole of this is all it's about. I'm glad it's turned into so much more than that because I would have really ran out of guests, really. And the only reason I have people back on is because I really want to ask more
questions. You mean
you
would have ran out of gas?
I would have ran out of gas.
See what I did there?
The racing fuel. That,
see, dad joke. That's the other thing you got to get really good at is dad jokes.
I do that good with my students already.
Okay.
Yep, so yep.
Natural
at this. So, yeah, that's the one thing I was like, man, you know, my And I'm trying to still get away from that, showing people. That's why I do the TikTok, so people can see a 1 minute clip of maybe a highlight of that time. Because, you know, I just had a band on. We talked about music. So I've had so many different things, so many different beverages. Beers aren't even, I think bourbons might be right up there with the beers that people come in with. And some people bring them to me because they go, I got something you got to try. And otherwise I say, hey, tell me what you want, because that's usually what it is. And you told me, go, no, I got something, I got a surprise for you. And the foggy geezer, because I'm going to be a foggy old geezer, I guess, with a child. That makes sense.
You're going to feel like one. It'll be a while before you're a geezer, but there's going to be days where you're just like, I feel like an old man that doesn't want to even get up and do anything today.
Sure. So you had some questions you wanted to ask me, you told me, and...
You know what? We've gone through so much so far, but yes... In lieu of my podcast launching and talking about wrestling and that being the thing, the main question I wanted to ask you is, I know we're already running a little long right now.
That's okay.
The one thing, because I'm curious what it was for you, I feel like every wrestling fan has that moment that turns them from a, oh, this is fun to watch, to a, I don't want to miss this anymore. There's a match or a moment or or even maybe for some people it's an entire pay-per-view or show, you know, that just everything worked. But, like, what was it for you that made you a fan that said,
so
I'm a wrestling
great.
Fan now?
Okay, here's what it was. Back in fifth grade, so we're talking 97-ish, 98-ish, somewhere in there. I remember my dad saying that Hulk Hogan used to come to AWA here in Winona. And I knew wrestling was on TV, and I knew that there was two of them on, but I didn't know anything about it. So I was looking for, here's how much I didn't know about wrestling when I first tuned on. I didn't know that the biggest matches were at the end. And I didn't know that, you know, you build your story up. So I'm like, well, which one's got Hulk Hogan on? I'll watch that. So at first, for maybe a couple months, I watched WCW because Hulk Hogan was on it. My dad said Hulk Hogan came to Winona, and I'm like, this is really cool to see. And everyone knew who Hulk Hogan was. But what really got me tied into wrestling was WWF. And at the time, it was The Rock and Stone Cold building up their Intercontinental to the WWF Championship. And then the Stone Cold Vince McMahon storyline. All three of those built in together. That's what got me into it. There wasn't really a specific match that got me hooked on it. It was that storyline of Rock, Stone Cold, Vince McMahon, all three of those tied in. Hulk Hogan was the reason I probably started watching because I was looking for it. I didn't know how anything was built, but I was a WWF guy. And obviously during the commercial break, sometimes I'd tune back over, but I'd always come back over to WWF.
Sure.
Because, and I'm not a hunter. I am not a redneck, as they would call Stone Cold, but Stone Cold was my absolute favorite guy because he'd come out, he'd give the finger, and he would do his thing, kick everyone's ass, and they thought it was the coolest thing. And then when The Rock came into the dynamic when he was fancy shirts, that was cooler than when he was with the Nation of Domination.
Yep.
That was kind of, he was working his way there, but once he got to the flashy sideburns, all that kind of stuff.
I'm the rich, arrogant guy, basically.
Yep. But he was so good at it that I liked him too. But I like Stone Cold just better, and Hurley always liked The Rock. So him and I would watch together because we're like, oh, this is really cool. We both like the opposite guys, kind of fun to watch. But then there were so many other base storylines before that I still liked even as well, like DX.
Yeah.
Like, this is really cool too.
Yep.
So to answer your question, Hulk Hogan, because he had some ties that my dad told me, he was at the JCs. They would come to the old Winona Middle School back in the AWA. That was why I started looking for wrestling, but the WWF, Stone Cold, Rock, Vince McMahon storyline kept me in wrestling.
Okay.
And now as it progressed, I mean, it's still cool to see Stone Cold do things, but then I became a John Cena fan, whether that makes me an idiot for the older people. The kids love him, but I just like that.
I've always loved John Cena.
Yeah, and you know what? He took the PG era and was able to run with it somehow and still relate to whatever because he didn't give the finger to people, but he was just kind of a badass guy with the military look. That was kind of cool.
Yep.
And the word life thing was kind of the end of the, I can say whatever I want on the mic to, now we're into PG, now he's the military guy as well.
No, it was the loyalty.
Hustle, loyalty, respect.
Yeah, it turned into that, which was, and it wasn't a bad thing. Then it became, he became the cartoon for the kids to all love, you know?
Yeah, never
which,
give up.
Which was never a bad thing, you know? It was a great message. And yeah, you know, you had a lot of the un-PG fans that were a little too like, oh, this is so bubblegum now with John. But it's like, but it kept people watching.
However,
and merchandise sales. I mean, let's
go. And that's the way I always tell people. I go, it doesn't matter if the best wrestler or the worst wrestler. It's whatever sells. This is who they're going to have as their champion. Well, John Cena being the guy that's granted the most Make-A-Wishes of all time, any athlete, whether you consider him an athlete or a sports entertainer, he still has the most.
He's an athlete.
Yes. Well, definitely, if you can do all that. Because I know what it takes to be in a ring and how winded you get. But that being said, the never give up, that is a great message for those younger kids who are fighting for their life with, you know, going through the Make-A-Wish, because they don't do Make-A-Wishes for everyone out there. They do it for people who have life-threatening illnesses. So that message is a good message that he was able to represent for that, and it carried the WWE worldwide, and then also it gets them more sales, but it gives kids hope at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's what made me fall in love with wrestling, was the people giving the fingers, chugging beers. And that's what I thought you were going to bring us.
And crotch chops.
And suck it. Yes. Because I remember people saying that in middle school all the time. And I was at St. Martin's Lutheran School, and people were still saying suck it. But I really thought you were bringing me Stone Cold IPAs, because you said, I got something for you.
Next time.
So then I won't have one until next time.
So you still haven't had it at all?
Mm-mm. And you said,
are you sure?
Not unless you gave me one.
I thought we did. Yeah, we did have it. You came over after it wasn't this last year, but
Father Daughter Dance?
You came, yes, and that's all we drank all night. Oh. Stone Cold beers.
Well, it was just the one then. I didn't have, he has three of them out, you said now, right?
Yep, and we had.
Maybe we did have those then.
We did have them then. But apparently they weren't memorable enough, so we need to do it again.
Maybe
so next
I need
time
one.
I'm going to have all three, and we will taste test them all, give our thumbs up and thumbs down.
Sounds like a good segment.
And I'll let you know how the Still Real to Me podcast is going.
But also, you know, that would be awesome, because it would tie both of ours in together. I have the brews, you have the wrestling. What a way to team up on a podcast. But also, just letting you know, there's going to be a one-year anniversary party with all those who've been on the podcast. So obviously you and your wife will be invited. I'm going to have it's probably going to be a no kids. So you're going to have to find a daycare or a babysitter. But I'm sure you and your wife would love that.
And you said it's going to be
it's right around the end of the year for us.
So your wife won't be able to drink.
No, but she's very excited for me to have that, because there should be about 40 some odd guests. Obviously, I've had some doubles up on these, but there should be 40 some odd guests. Plus, if there's significant others can make it, I mean, there's a potential it could be 70 or 80 people. And that would be really cool, just to see how the 1 year has gone and where it's progressed. Because even when I look back to 1-2 podcasts and now, I'm like, wow, it looks so much better now. And people keep saying, your interviews keep getting better. I'm just trying to figure out how to get it out to the masses more.
Yep.
And I think you're going to obviously have an easier time with the radio, because they're going to promote it with the radio station and all that. So you're going to have a little easier of a time, but I'm still trying to figure out how to get it out to the masses. I don't know if it's more hashtags and all that. I've been kind of researching different things of how to get it out there a little bit more. Other than boosting it with money, what else can I do? So I'm always working on different ways, and I'm always taking other people's advice. My wife, Stephanie, said, you know, get TikToks out there. Do that. She goes, I see a lot of things that, and then all of a sudden I watch that and I want to go listen or see or watch whatever it might be. So that's what I'm working on. So
onwards and upwards.
Yeah, I guess it's time to go to trivia, it looks like.
Yes, it is. So.
So for those who are listening to us, Paul's back for round two. And he brought us some, war pigs, but he also brought us the Foggy Geezer tonight, which that was a good one. I've had that one. But I actually like the Lazarite a little bit better. And this one I've never seen in the stores until you brought it here. So
for those looking for it, you know, not a sponsor, obviously, but
it could be.
The Lazarite, the only place I've been able to find it in town is Hy-Vee. So
they have a lot of good stuff.
Hy-Vee liquor. Otherwise, Foggy Geezer is almost any place in town has it. So.
Yeah. And then the other thing, don't forget, coming out on October 1st. Paul has his wrestling podcast.
It's still real to me, damn it.
I love it. I hope that's your intro. It's still real.
It's
going to
be in there.
I'll
be working on producing it, actually, as we speak. So
you're working on it right now?
Well,
not right now here, but like these days. Okay,
yes.
Awesome.
I'm working on producing the intro right now, actually.
That'll be so much fun. So you can look for Paul on... Where can they find this?
Go to WinonaRadio.com, click connect, and then click podcasts.
And then it should also be on some major streaming platforms as
well? Yes, yep, you'll find it. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, probably wherever you find your major podcasts, you'll be able to find
awesome. It. Awesome. And again, this has been another round two with Paul of Brews and Crews. And you can find me on any major streaming platform if you want to watch, see what we're drinking, just to see what we look like, who we are, our beautiful faces. Check out YouTube. Otherwise, you can go on to any major streaming platform, Apple Podcasts. You're going to find both of us there. You can go to Spotify, Amazon Music, Samsung Music, iHeartRadio. I'm on all of those. If you like what you hear, please like, share, and subscribe. I would appreciate it. Go check out Paul's new podcast coming out October 1st. And again, this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. Cheers.